This morning's very short scripture reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ.
Good morning, Grace. I didn't want the scripture reading to be overwhelming, so... This morning... We are doing part two of our 2 weeks of This is Grace. My name is Colin Reuter, one of the pastors here at Grace Church, and thankful to be able to do this at the start of a new year as a church and start of a new pastorate for me, joining and co-laboring with Dave and the other elders. Last Sunday, Pastor Dave walked us through the good news of Jesus, that is the gospel, and our statement of faith. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is what unifies all Christians. If you call yourself a Christian, we believe and trust in the gospel, which is what makes us Christians, Christ followers. That statement of faith from the EFCA, which is our denomination, is that next level of distinctives from other churches. Very easily, most evangelical churches would look at that statement of faith and affirm it, but there is some distinction for us. My question this morning, hopefully loud and proud from all of you, is do you remember the four parts of the gospel that Pastor Dave preached on? What is the first part? Second? Third? And lastly, who has shared the gospel this past week using those four categories? Anybody brave enough to throw up a hand? No one. Okay. Helpful, though, nonetheless, to think through for ourselves those four parts of the gospel, to remind ourselves of the gospel, because we do not graduate from the gospel. I needed good news this morning that I was secure in him, and so do you. It is my privilege this morning to share more specifically what makes Grace Church more refined in our belief. How are we different from even other evangelical churches, which is primarily our mission statement, the building blocks of what it means to be a disciple here at Grace Church, and our core values. Pastor Dave gave the analogy of a funnel. He started very, very broad at the wide end of the funnel. I, out of my graciousness, gave him the low-hanging fruit of Christianity, which is the gospel. And now I'm narrowing down, have the privilege to narrow down what makes Grace distinctive. What is unique about Grace Church? What makes us unique from other evangelical churches? I want to make clear this morning that we are not saying that we are better than other churches. We are not saying that we are the true church in some way. The aim of these distinctives for us, key aspects of what we speak to, it's what we aim for, and ultimately what we treasure from God's Word, that all of these things are coming from the Word of God. These aren't things that we've created to sound catchy or fun, but simply to say this is what we see from the Word, and therefore we want to be those things. These have come primarily from the church seeking to answer the questions, who are we and what do we believe? And then the helpful thing, we put them down in writing. The aim of what we do is to present one another mature in Christ. In order to do that, we need some guidance from God's Word. What does it mean to be mature in Christ? And there are specifics for us at Grace Church in Wyoming, Minnesota, in the year 2025. I want to point out as well, this type of sermon is not usual for Grace Church. This kind of topical, multiple points in scripture sermon is not normal for Grace Church. And I know some of us, we hear a sermon like this and we don't know how to handle it. But I would say that what it should do is help us to see who we are as a church, that we are grounded in the full counsel of God's Word, but also that we have the gift of expository preaching that occurs every Sunday at this church. That is not the case for most churches. Most churches will say from the Word, here are five steps to a better marriage, which could be helpful. But I think more helpful to expound on the Word of God, to show and reveal the Word of God, to address every area of life. As the Apostle Paul said it, I preach to you the full counsel of God's Word. We avoid or focus on nothing but the full Word. And so I want us to understand that the gift of expository preaching occurs most Sundays here, and we should see it as that, a gift. It is interesting, as I've dove into text this week and our core values as a new pastor, I'm learning to know these better, to love them deeper, and to share them with others with great joy. But even before being called here as one of the pastors, Susan and I prayed often about next ministry steps. We looked for specific values, specific theology, specific doctrines and methods in ministry where I could thrive as a pastor and enter into the Lord's work faithfully. Because the Lord was at work long before I got here, long before Dave got here. But we were looking for something specific, and we believe that we have that here at Grace. It's projected in the mission statement, and it's practically set forth in our core values. So whether you've been a part of Grace since the beginning or for a few months, or this is your first Sunday here at Grace, our prayer is that you would know, love, and share the mission and values of Grace with the utmost joy as you share the gospel with others. So Pastor Dave's aim from last week was to firmly establish us in the truths of God so that we might live out our faith with greater confidence, clarity, joy, and unity. My main point this morning, which I think is similar, just in different words, is that at Grace Church, we would be unified on specific truths of God for our faith from His Word to reach maturity in Christ. And I believe that as we grow in our love for these truths within this family called Grace Church, I pray that it will lead us to joyful obedience as we reach Wyoming and to the ends of the earth with the gospel. That's the aim. It's not just to sound catchy or fun, but the aim is to make more disciples, to be obedient to the commands that Christ has given us here in this community and beyond. So before we dive in, would you pray with me? And so, Heavenly Father, your church gathers this morning, not just here, but around the world, to lift high the name of our King Jesus. What a privilege it is. And so as we walk through who we are as a church, I pray that our hearts would be drawn up to the fact that you have called us together for such a time as this. Would you help us from your word to be faithful as you are faithful, to be full of joy as we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in whose name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to walk through three aspects of Grace Church. You'll see them on the sermon outline if you grabbed one. You will also see a number of scriptures tied to each of these points, each of these core values. It is to show not that we have just attached some random Bible verse to it, but where these core values and mission are coming from are primarily the Word of God. So these three aspects are our mission, building blocks, and core values. So point number one, our mission. Our mission statement is to become a people treasuring Christ and the building of His kingdom. That's our aim. That's what we want to be. We want to treasure Christ and the building of His kingdom. Matthew 13 says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and then buys that field. The mission statement is a place that gives us specific aim within the Great Commission in Matthew 28, which that Great Commission is the mission of every church over all time, is to make disciples of all the nations. Grace Church, though, exists in a specific time, a specific location, and thus our mission should be grace-specific. The key to the mission is to become something, an aim towards something. What is that? A people who treasure Christ. We treasure Him, Him alone. He is our supreme worth, our treasure, our most valuable possession, our hope, and our joy. As the Apostle Paul said it, I count everything rubbish except just knowing Christ. We not only treasure Christ, but we treasure the fact that He is building His kingdom. We are not building His kingdom. He does. We act as citizens in his kingdom. We act as ambassadors for him within that kingdom. But Christ is building the kingdom. Thankfully, it does not depend on us for that to happen. It's on him. Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Paul in 2 Corinthians, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And Hebrews 11, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to build something for you so that where I am, you will also be. To help guide and guard the process of fulfilling that mission, that we would together be a people who treasure Jesus above all things, that we would treasure the fact that Christ is building his church. We have something called Ministry City. This has been shared in various points, continue to be shared as I'm wrapping my head around it. But it is a way of putting flesh on the bones of ministry and mission. I'm not going to explain Ministry City in depth here this morning, but this structure exists. It exists to guide and protect and bring clarity to what we do for ministry, how we do ministry, and that ultimately our ministry is grounded in the Word and it aims to bring glory to God, not Grace Church. Point number two, there are particular building blocks that we have in place as a church. These are helpful structures, trellises in place to show priority, to know who is a part of Grace and what we are about. Building block number one is membership. You'll see a number of scriptures attached, but there is a clear distinction in scripture that people belonged to a specific body. They belong to one another under the headship of Christ, under the headship of elders that they were taught from, and under the authority which they submitted themselves to. So we love membership here at Grace. We love to affirm your confession of faith. And a part of loving that is a sign of baptism, a step in obedience, which the Word commands. So one act of obedience as a Christian is to be baptized as you confess your faith. And from this act of obedience is the next step of covenant membership. We call meaningful membership. This is into the local church body. This would be here at Grace Church. If you are interested in this step, I suggest you talk to Pastor Dave, myself, or one of the elders. It is meaningful because it's more than just getting to vote on something on a quarterly meeting. It's more than just snagging a cool Grace mug, which I have under the pulpit this morning. Cool mugs are a part of it, but that's not everything. This meaningful membership, it is a commitment to a specific people in a specific time and place for God's purposes. That you ultimately are not a part of this church because you simply chose, well, I think I need to land somewhere. What you are saying is, I believe that God has called me to this place and I long to covenant with people here, be in relationship, work out the one another's in faith. Membership is not you deciding what church best suits your preferences, but seeing the good hand of God in connecting you with brothers and sisters that he has chosen for you. This is good both for the church and for you. It is a mutual blessing. The idea behind membership is that it is a practical and important step to work out the over 50 one another's in the New Testament. You'll see when the manuscript is posted to the website, there's a hyperlink on the one another's. Pastor Dave made a list of most of them. So you can click it and read all the one another's just in the New Testament alone. We do that here as a local body because we are members of one another. We are one body. Step number two is Sunday morning. Again, a number of passages that show that there is a specific day set aside to meet and gather as the church. This is primarily the worship service that you are sitting in now. So when we're talking about Sunday morning, here we are. I'm including in this as well, though, Berea and Sunday school. Berea, because it is a privilege to sit under the teaching within the scriptures and interact with others as a means of grace for our spiritual well-being. I'm so thankful for Matt's teaching this morning. Both a love and delight in the word, which comes out in his teaching. I have sat in classes with John and love his teaching, men who love the word. Looking forward to sitting under Mark and his teaching in that class as well soon. So please, on a Sunday morning, if you are able, if the weather cooperates, come to Sunday school. Bring your kids. Send them into their classes where they will learn about the truths of Jesus Christ. And come to Berea. But Sunday morning is primarily this service. This is no trite thing. Being here as you are able to sing and pray and confess your sin and to sit under the proclamation of the word is God's kindness to you each week. We should not take lightly this gathering. It is a means of grace for you to sit next to your brothers and sisters each week. Sunday morning is the best way to be present with this family, to be seen and to see others. You are truly a blessing to someone here this morning. The fact that you are here is a blessing to someone. If no one else, to me. So don't take this lightly. And as we live our lives with one another, as your story is shared and you're prayed over, your presence here at Grace is a blessing. Sometimes the struggles that we are going through and the fact that you still show up on a Sunday morning speaks to the amazing glory of God's grace and kindness to you and can encourage your brothers and sisters. Your presence here at Grace is a blessing, a sign that God is at work. More could be said, but I will simply say that we should not neglect this gathering. The local church is a gift, a visible gathering of blood-bought people of God to lift his name on high and a means of grace to transform us more and more into the image of his beloved Son. And third, we have discipleship groups. Now, I'm new to Grace. It took me a little while to learn the specific language of Grace Church. We have a bunch of acronyms. I even shared one yesterday that someone didn't even know existed. But I knew it existed, so I kind of felt cool in that moment. But we call discipleship groups DGs, because discipleship groups just gets long. So we call them DGs. Every church really has unique language to them, and we are no exception. A building block of being a healthy church at Grace means we have an arena of shepherding and discipleship. In these smaller groups outside of a Sunday, we have an elder overseeing each group. Fellowship happens, prayers are spoken, care is given, love is seen. Elders have the opportunity to interact on a small level with people that God has given them to know, lead, feed, and protect. It is our privilege as elders to engage the souls among us in this way. And it is a privilege to interact as people of grace outside a Sunday to act upon those one another's. This is done on a micro level in DGs. If you are not regularly going to a DG, that as you make Sunday mornings a priority, I would exhort you, encourage you to make priority a DG. If you need a ride, ask. If you can't make one night of the week work, ask an elder about another group that meets on a different night of the week. We want you and we need you plugged in. Not only because it will be a blessing to you, but it will be a blessing to those in your DG. And lastly, we have everything else. I did not create this term. It's already in the documents. This is everything else. This is every other ministry that occurs at Grace Church, G to G. Again, special language. G to G means generation to generation. It's our family ministry that happens on Sunday nights, and it's awesome. My first one was last week, and our family just enjoyed the time immensely. So, Sunday night, tonight, Lord willing, G to G. We have Masculine Mandate, which is our men's group, and Adorned, which is our women's group. And then there are a number of other everything else's that happen at Grace. Every other ministry at Grace, outside of a Sunday morning, outside of DGs, falls into this category. This is simply an area of various ministries that we have here at Grace. We do things. We do things with a purpose, though. Because like any ministry, we pray about, we evaluate, we act upon whether they help us fulfill our mission and the Great Commission. As elders, along with ministry leaders, we want to do ministry well for the sake of the saints and the glory of God. Not because we have always had a particular program, we just do it. We are continually asking ourselves, is it helping us make disciples? Is it bringing God glory? And how do we do that well? Okay. Core values. Interesting thing with core values, if you have worked with any sort of company or corporate entity, I think everyone has some sort of set of core values. Would we all agree with that? They can be fun terms. They can be terms that kind of describe the company, maybe. We have core values here at Grace Church, but I want to make clear that these are not just terms that we like, that somehow we put into a hat and we said, okay, we're going to pick 10 and those are going to be our core values. As I've talked with ministry leaders, as I've talked with the elders, these are things that Grace is and has been, and we're just simply putting terms to them to make sure that we're staying on track. Because as Grace Church, we earnestly desire and prayerfully strive to be a purposeful church. Again, we just don't gather for the fun of it. We're gathering for a purpose. This is why we have a mission. This is why we have guiding principles, which is Ministry City, and why core values are written and spoken of. And Pastor Dave alluded last week that they're really important, even though we've never really taught on them or spoken to them. I would love to change that. These should be a drum that we beat, an encouragement that we have for one another. Our mission statement should be just on our lips. Somebody comes up to you, where do you go to church? Because people do that all the time, right? Random strangers at Quick Trip, where do you go to church? But if you're in a conversation with a coworker and they say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I go to Grace Church in Wyoming. Okay, can you tell me anything about that church? Yeah, we are about becoming a people who treasure Christ and the building of his kingdom. And here are some ways that we do that. It's an easy way to just speak to who we are as Grace Church. So these core values are more than just terms on a page. We see them in the Word of God. We value these things. We treasure them. And it's things that we should aim at and grow in. So each core value I'm going to share, there's a scripture that I've attached to it, and there's an application. I want to be clear that one of many scriptures is attached to this. If you read through the Word of God, you will just find these core values throughout the scriptures. The application is not exhaustive. I had to limit it on some level, so I did. So let your imagination roam wild with these core values within the Word of God. Core value number one is that we as a church are God-centered. We value the centrality of God in everything. We exist by him, through him, and for him. The chief purpose of every decision, event, meeting, or ministry exists to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We ask the question, how is God glorified? The scripture that automatically came to my mind is one of my favorite passages from Romans 11, verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. That's us, Grace Church. God is everything. Application of this value, the goal of this church is not to make great the name of Grace Church. We do not want to lift high the name of Grace Church. We do not worship the name Grace Church. We worship the one true living God revealed in the scriptures. We pray and worship and preach from the knowledge and joy that without God we are hopeless. Ministry exists so that we would know the Lord our God and make Him known. Core value number two, we are Christ treasuring. We value Jesus as the one who reveals God to us, and it is our goal not only to trust and obey Him, but to treasure and savor Him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Question, how is the Lord Jesus exalted? Our passage is from Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent, that He would be supreme. Supreme first in our hearts, and supreme everywhere else. Colossians chapter 1. Application of this core value, Jesus is everything. In our worship service, we look to Jesus. In our classes, we desire to know and seek Jesus, from adults all the way down to our kiddos. We see Him as the treasure, not a means to a treasure. This is the heart of the gospel. The gospel is not a ticket to heaven, but a reconciliation and relationship to Jesus Christ. Wherever Jesus is, that's heaven, and that's where I want to be. And not only that, I long for my children to know, love, and treasure Jesus above all things. That is our aim. Core value number three, we aim to be faith building. We value faith in Christ both as a gift from God and the vital and fundamental response of the Christian to God. We live by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and therefore we make it our goal to build each other up in the faith. Helping each other to live daily upon the promises of God must be a high priority. The question is, how is our faith in God strengthened? Our scripture is from Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Application of this core value is one in evangelism, because heaven rejoices when someone comes to faith. Angels sing, God smiles, and we join in when someone comes to faith. We rejoice in it, and we long to grow in faith together. This is disciple making. We desire to present everyone mature in Christ, whether you are 2 years old or 100 years old. In discipleship, in ministry, the aim is not just knowledge alone, but a maturing of acting faith to the glory of Christ. That right knowledge would lead to discipleship, and that would be us singing as one voice, glory to Jesus Christ. Core value number four, we long to be prayer empowered. We value prayer because we are dependent people, even us Western Americans. We believe that we must make prayer the visible engine of all of our efforts in ministry and worship. Question we ask is, have we dependently asked God's help through prayer? Our passage from Philippians, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Our application is that prayer should be step number one in everything that we do. I say should be because we are honest that it is not always the first step in what we do. We pray, though, throughout morning service. We've prayed often this morning. We pray before our classes. We pray for one another during DG, in our one-on-one meetings throughout the week as we disciple one another. And we pray in corporate prayer every Wednesday at noon, sometimes in Pastor Dave's office, sometimes in my office, sometimes with kids running back and forth between the closet, attic, fun fort house in my office and the rest of the church. But so thankful that God hears our prayers, and we love to pray. And friends, family, we pray in the morning. We pray over our meals together, and we pray before we lay down at night. Prayer is dependence on the one who we need. It is a conversation with the one who knows all things and is working all things for our good and to the delight of his will. I would say we can do this better, both individually, as a family, and as a church, but we do aim to be a church that thrives in prayer, that before decisions are made, we are bringing it to the Lord. Core value number 5, we long to be Bible saturated. We value being saturated with the Word of God. You get a lot of scripture in this church. It's on purpose. We value it because it's the Bible. It is God's reliable, authoritative, and sufficient revelation. We desire to grow a love for the Word as well as a deepening our understanding of it in each person within the church, a part of our maturing in Christ. Psalm 119, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How do I know where I'm going? Because I have the Word of God. It is a light and lamp. Application of this core value. We love our Bibles. If you have your Bible here this morning, you can hold it up in the air. And it might be a phone, and I'm okay with that. Let your cellular light shine before all men. We love the Bible. Everything we do here is centered around the Bible, right? We should not take for granted that we have the Word of the living God in our hands. We have access to it anytime we want it. It is the lamp to our feet. It is a light for our path. And when we desire to know God's will, which is a question that I often get, I just want to know God's will for my life. Great. Let's start here. We pray and we seek the Word. Sermons on a Sunday are not man's wisdom. I will only speak for myself. I am not smart. You don't need my wisdom. You need to hear from God. I imagine Pastor Dave would say the same. We need God's revelation to his people. The curriculum we use, the basis for our discussions, the guidance for our families is the Word of God. Core value number 6. We aim to be disciple producing. We value growth in Christ likeness in every believer as all of us become the disciples of God, become the disciples God intends us to be. We value an intentionality to make and reproduce disciples according to the wisdom of Pastor Dave. No, God's word. Matthew 28, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." As we are producing disciples, Jesus is with us. He's helping us in that endeavor. Because ultimately, producing disciples is his work, a change of the heart and mind. Note on this, that making disciples is a process. You are a disciple and you are becoming a disciple. It means that some form and some structure is needed in order to guide that process. And as a mature believer, I would even argue as a believer, if you don't see yourself as mature, we should know that investing into another person in the faith is the supernatural working of God to help them contemplate and grow in their faith as you are growing as well. That should be our mindset. Each of us should be thinking and acting towards the aim of presenting one another mature in Christ. If you look at the building blocks within grace, you will see a formal structure on a Sunday morning. Everything that happens here this morning is with a purpose. There is structure to our services. It is orderly, which is what God has commanded. And there is some flexibility as you shift down into DGs. They have specific structure, and yet, if you've been to a DG, there is some informality there, sometimes chaos. But there is still some structure, which should lead to smaller groups of discipleship, one-on-one, couple-to-couple, still with structure, using things like our discipleship tracks to guide and evaluate growth in faith, but also it does get a little loose because you're getting into relationship and getting to know one another. The tracks in particular grant clarity to know what we are doing. We're making disciples. There's a purpose behind what we're doing. And tracks, pun intended, for that action to answer the question, how do we know we are producing disciples? Because we can say that, but how do we know? Well, the tracks are a helpful way to do that. And so an application of this core value, we have DGs. We grow as followers of Christ. We're taking one step closer to Him by fellowship, study, and prayer, by sharing our very lives with one another. We have discipleship tracks to help grow and mature followers in all areas of life. Parents, especially moms who are at home with their little ones, your children are your little disciples. You are teaching and training them in the ways of Christ. My hope and prayer is that the family roadmap is a way to view how to make that progress by God's grace. That we are intentional with our children and with our older children. As followers of Christ, our thoughts should be towards helping one other person take the next step toward Christ in relationship, in likeness, and in action. So, you should be looking to someone and say, would you pour into me and help me grow in my faith? Someone who's older, more mature. You who are older, you should look back and say, who can I bring along on this journey of life with Christ? Who can I teach and train? And that may be your children. It may be a young person in this church. It may be someone who's the same age as you, but you just long for that fellowship to grow together. But start thinking that way. We want to present one another mature. We do that together. Core value number 7. We want to be family strengthening. We value building up strong marriages and families. Where God's word is taught and lived out, where husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, where wives respect their husbands as the church respects Christ, where hearts of parents are turned toward their children, where children towards their parents. Psalm 103, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. Application of this core value is that we love marriage, and dare I say, biblical marriage, such as the world that we live in. We love marriage between one man and one woman. We rejoice in it. We love families. And we do that whether we are single, married, with kids, or without. We uphold the gift of God in these areas. Marriage and family are the best things for this community, the state, the nation. Is healthy marriages and healthy families, families who are proclaiming the gospel and worshiping Christ. It's the best thing. We pray, therefore, for marriages in this church. We pray for our kiddos to come to saving faith and to treasure Christ. We pray that we would see, value, and uphold biblical marriage and family. Number 8, love expressing. We value the Spirit-led expression of love within the body of Christ and toward unbelievers. We love our neighbor. We desire to grow as a true family. Grows and as a healthy body functions. We believe that this love comes by the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ. Jesus' words in John 13, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Our application, we think of others more than we think of ourselves. Boy, that's hard. We think of others more than we think of ourselves. Love sacrifices for a greater good. It was the love of God that sent Christ for redemption, and we seek to imitate this here at Grace Church. The watching world will know that we treasure Christ when we love one another like he did. The relationships that are built in our DGs should grow our love and action toward others in this church. We see a need and we meet it regardless of the cost. Nothing is too great for us to work toward love in one another. Almost done. Two more. Number 9, relationship pursuing. We value the intentional pursuit of authentic, healthy relationships. God created us for community, and in a world where so many miss the mark, the church must strive to get it right by actively pursuing the one another commands of Scripture. I love Galatians chapter 6. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You can only do that if you're actually in relationship with one another. So application, it is, maybe I'll give a preface to this. Sunday mornings are really important, Grace. One, the fact that you're here is not an accident. It's God's good kindness to you. And this gathering is unique beyond any other gathering across time. But it is nothing to gather here on a Sunday morning if we're not growing in relationship with one another. That means sacrifice, being open and honest of who we are and what we struggle with. And this is the growing trait of a Christian. To be in authentic, intentional, confessional relationships is the beauty of this family. And so confess sin to one another. Minister to one another with the gospel. And listen to one another. Just shut up when someone else is talking and listen to what they're saying. Don't listen to respond, but just be with them. This is acted out on a Sunday morning on a loose level. Gets interesting after a Sunday service because, you know, things, kids. But more clearly, this is acted out in DGs and smaller gatherings as you get to know others. We were able to sit with a couple last night in their home and just be in their living room with a good drink and good conversation. That's relationship building. I would simply ask, how can you bear one another's burdens unless you grow in relationship, unless you know the person who's sitting next to you? It's rhetorical, you can't. Lastly, we aim to be mission mobilizing. We value missions and evangelism as the privilege God has given us as his ambassadors, accomplishing his goal of spreading the knowledge of his glory to all the nations. We desire to pursue Christ's guidance and empowerment in the building of his kingdom among all the peoples of the world because we treasure him above all things. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Our application here is that we support missions. We, of course, desire to reach Wyoming and the surrounding communities in which we live. That is disciple producing. That is evangelism. But when we speak of missions, we support the gospel reaching the nations. People who do not have Bibles in their hands. People who have never heard the name that is above every other name, which is Jesus Christ. We desire all nations to praise the living God, to know that redemption has come, and to fulfill the Great Commission by supporting and sending others into cultures with the gospel. One final note before we close on the distinctives as Grace Church. For the last number of years, we have had a section in our membership book that lists some of the theological convictions that leadership have held to and taught. The helpful step for leadership has been to put these in writing, like the list at the back of the membership booklet. As elders, we see this as a working document that we are discussing and hope to teach in the coming months. These distinctives have brought clarity in theology and unity for us in decisions as elders, something that I am stepping into. But love these distinctives and hope in the coming months to share more with you. If any of these core values you've missed explanation, the sermon will be up later this week, but you can go to our website, Into What We Believe, and you'll see all the core values listed. And so, brothers and sisters, we want to be a faithful church, right? Like, we want to be about what God has for us. We want to be faithful to it. And we want you to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Our prayer, again, has been and will be for us to do this together, to seek to treasure Christ and the building of his kingdom. My prayer has been just thinking of this message. I want this to feel like an invitation. Like, if you've been a part of Grace for a really, really long time, maybe you've never just heard something like this before, but this is an invitation to be a part of what God has called us to. If this is your first Sunday, we would love to get to know you and say, come join us on mission in what God has called us to. Because there's nothing greater for you to be a part of. One, because this is eternal. And two, this actually is going to work. Every other mission statement in the world is not going to be successful, actually. It's going to fail at some point, not this. Not bringing glory to Christ, not making disciples, it's going to work. Why? Because it's not dependent upon any of us. It's dependent upon the living God. So I long for this to be an invitation to seek the things of God, to grow and to grow together. And so join us. If you don't know where to start, it is our joy to point you in the right direction, to give you a starting place. That would be get baptized, become a member, plug into a DG, and then we'll go from there together. Because this is really for our joy and the joy of our neighbors. This is the call that God has placed on us here at Grace Church, and we long for you to be a part of it. And I'm new to this, but I'm excited to be a part of what's happening at Grace Church. So let me encourage you with this. Grace Church, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete one another's joy by being of the same mind. Having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. May we aim to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of us look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. May we have this mind among ourselves, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone here at Grace Church mature in Christ.